All right, so you've had a little break, and it is time for questions. So whoever wishes to ask a question, please raise your hand, and Daniel will bring you the mic.
Thank you. Hi, Galex. This is Lori.
Well, hello.
You know, I've been loving my life for quite some time, but recently I have disconnected. I've spent quite a bit of time being intimate with myself and looking at my fears, and as I become really close to having it all and embracing my global mission, I've allowed the fear of money and the unknown to interfere with my divine connection. And I'm just coming out of that now. I'm excited about what's coming, but I'm still kind of wobbly. So how do I, what do I need to know that I don't know now?
Right. Well, wobbliness is part of the aligning and resetting that you're doing. The wobbliness is connected to clarifying and staying very, very present with yourself. And, of course, present with whatever's going on in your head and whatever's going on outside you as well. As you get more present, more clear, it will unfold, it will evolve. You will find you becoming much more, in a sense, steady in your motivation and your clarity. But recognize this, though, that there is a perception, a part of your training in the linear consciousness, that any type of improvement should be steady. Any type of energy or attention or anything, activity that you do should produce a quality of stability and steadiness. And we want to suggest that as you're going through a transitionary time, you're not going to feel that steadiness or that sense of stability. This is not a time of stability. When you are changing, when you're opening, when you're growing at such an accelerated rate, you may not feel that energies of stability are with you. Most people look for stability, as, and some of you, others of you who are concerned about your financial life, you look to stability. You look to financial stability to give you a sense of security. And so that then if you think you have security, then maybe you can trust it'll be okay. So you use that stability as a substitute for trust. So what we want to suggest here is that the creative process, if you've ever, any of you who've been creative, and you've definitely been creative, dear one, you've noticed in creative activities, stability is not a factor. Okay? When you create, there's a sense of bringing in the new, shifting, changing, everything's opening, moving. You're playing with different pieces and put them in very kind of juxtaposing them this way or that way or trying this way and putting on different perspectives, doing different filters and so on with a creative process. And that does not incline one to a linear setup with stability. What you have to use in this particular case is a strong sense of trust in the divine plan. Trust to know that you are heading in the right direction. Now, how do you know you're heading in the right direction? If you don't see that stability, if you don't see, if it's wobbly, right? If it doesn't seem to be steady and steady, heading in the right direction, if you seem to be going off to the side over here and going off to the side over there, how do you know you'll be okay? Well, the first thing we would suggest is first, and you've probably done this before, all of you, any of you who've come to our Love and Healing evenings or have talked with us know that we suggest, first of all, get rid of that whole concept of form. telling you where you're at. Form is the manifestations itself. When you go on a side loop, it's because you want to bring in something else in your creative process. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But you see, sometimes when you go on a side trip, even your money gets wobbly. Even the channels through which you receive your income, or the channels through which you receive your love, or your healing, or your activities, all seem to get shaky, and they shift and they shift. And sometimes you feel that you lack clarity. Now, if you judge yourself to say, oh, I'm falling off the path here, I'm wandering away, then you can stick yourself there. And it takes longer to get back to your track. Also, the track that you thought you were on may not really be the best track. You made a shift in your life where you're opening up a new track. And in order for you to find the new that's coming to you, the greater, the better that's coming to you, you may find yourself wandering off your originally chosen track into new territory. It's all part of the creativity. It's all part of dreaming and imagining what's coming or where you want to go, and playing with all the factors. A final factor that helps anchor in the trust is for you to expand your awareness of who you are. And the best way to do that is to remind yourself that you are divine by your nature. And if you don't think you're very divine because you've been judging yourself, or you've been thinking, well, I'm not quite good enough at this, and I need to be better at that, and I need to work more at this, then you need to tell your slave driver to get the hell out first. And then sit in your beingness, just be with you, and say, you know, here I am, a human being, a divine reality creator. And here I am sitting here. And I'm somewhere on my path. I don't know where, because I tend to align my path to what I think are goals. And I don't see where my goals are being met right now. But I am a creator and co-creator with my crew and my reality. And I trust that there is some kind of divine plan that the greater me is looking at, that my crew is helping me with. And so I want to get as much help as possible. So I'm going to expand myself, reminding myself that I'm divine. I'm going to ask for the help from my crew. And I'm going to open to receive it. You see, if you can do that, then it doesn't matter if you're wobbly. You understand? All right? Because you've got the trust that you know that, because the wobble is just that sometimes you feel I'm on, and sometimes you feel I'm off. Well, sometimes you're off because there's something else to look at, something else to explore, some other filter to look through, some other perspective to get. And maybe it's also that your spirit helpers, your crew, are doing some tinkering with your future as per your request. And when your future starts shifting around, your present starts to change. So don't judge yourself if you feel you're off track. Don't judge yourself if you feel that you don't have stability and steadiness toward your goals. One of the things you're going to be doing is throwing out goals. Yes, there are certain physical manifestations that you may work towards. And you will do what is required in your business world, in your physical plane existence, when you're working with other people, that you have to do certain steps and stages and so on. But within those particular pieces, recognize that that staying in your state of being, in loving your life, really being free to love your life and choosing to love your life regardless of what's going on externally or what has manifested yet and what is not, enables you to stay connected to the trust. You see, you didn't come here to fail. You didn't. You didn't come here to make a mess of things and have God be displeased with you. That just isn't happening. the one who's the arbiter of whether you're doing good or not or whatever it is you. And when you come to the end of your life and you pass to the other side, after you've been greeted, had the little party, you know, and gone through the shower, washing off all the dross of your lower identities, you'll sit down with your special crew. You'll sit down with your special counsel. They're not there to judge you. They're there with you to evaluate how you want to look at your life, what you want to, if you want to do anything more on the physical plane, where you feel you're at, what you want to do next. It is generally people who get the experience of the, what do they call it, the near-death experience, where people go through the tunnel of light and they do their life review. In this life review, they see what they've been doing. Very often it's a life changer for them, for they see that, oh, I'm being really selfish, I'm judging, I'm being limited, I, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, I'm seeing that. Oh my gosh. And they have remorse for it. They don't go into guilt and shame and judgment about it. They feel a certain sense. Oh, that's too bad. I hurt people. I hurt myself. Well, I don't want to do this again, because they touch the bliss on the other side and they see how unnecessary it is. They come back into their lives. Now their lives are changed and they can get on with living in the present. In the present moment. So when you look at it from that perspective, dear one, you can see that just being in the present moment, having a lot of grace for yourself, having a lot of compassion for yourself, having a lot of appreciation for yourself and enjoying yourself even more, that every time you feel a wobble, it's just the opportunity for you to get higher, for you to expand your divine awareness. You see?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong. See, most of you are trained to think, ooh, I'm not connected. It's not as good and juicy as it was yesterday. Something's wrong. Nah. No, nothing's wrong. You're just kind of, well, let me look into this under this rock over here and see what's under there. Or maybe you just need to open up to your spirit helpers and say, what an interesting, exciting future are you fixing up for me? No, they're not going to tell you the form in detail, all right? You didn't want to know that. Otherwise, you would have remembered exactly who you were when you came into your physical lifetime. You didn't want to know the future. That's why you have it set up to where you have this time thing, where you have this illusion. The future is something that you're creating now. And who you are now is being created by the future. And you're enjoying the interplay with that. So the wobbles are just part of the show. They're part of the craziness of life, the wildness of life, the fun of it, the adventure of it. So look at every deviation that you may consider a deviation anyway, as being another adventure. And you want tend to take it so damn seriously. You've been trained to take everything very seriously. To take everything that happens to you in your life personally. Somebody doesn't like me. God doesn't like me. Well, when you get into that state, it's because you don't like you. And if you just kind of wait a minute. You know, what's not to like? You see, if you like yourself or love yourself based on your performance, then you're really screwed up there. You need to let that go. That's a slave driver trying to remind you, you haven't done enough. You aren't good enough. We'll talk a little bit more about this before we end today, because that's going to be part of the healing process. is that wherever you are right now in your life is okay. Because you are okay. And it's all part of your exploration. So thank you for that question.
Thank you, Galexis.
All right, who's next?
Good afternoon, Galexis.
Hello.
Hi. I've really been enjoying kind of turning onto my life again and having it be this big adventure.
Yay.
And I wanted to ask you kind of a practical question. My roommate and I have been discussing this, and she's having a similar thing. When I wake up in the morning and I'm going out the door to go to work, I feel really excited and really good and really love my job. And I'm looking forward to the people I meet and the drive. And then around the afternoon slump time, like around 2 or 3 o'clock, I start to get sick of it and wish the customers would cancel so I could go home. And then after I take the long, hour-long drive home, I feel kind of burned out and tired, and I start to get grumpy, like, I'm not making enough money, and this job's terrible, I should get a new job, blah, blah, blah. Everything kind of goes downhill. And my roommate was saying she does the same thing, kind of in reverse. You know, she wakes up depressed about, oh, my life is horrible. Then by the time she goes to work, she starts to feel really good, and she feels good when she gets home. And I was just wondering, do you have anything you could say about that?
All right. Well, first of all, we'd say how delightful it is that you and your roommate have just switched. Because if both of you were down at the same time, it'd be a real drag. All right? Fortunately, one of you's up and one of you's down, right?
That's so, usually the case, yeah. Looks like pretty good.
That is good. That's. But you want, of course, a more fun balance than that. Anyway. All right. What's going on with you, of course, is that you're having difficulty maintaining your motivation during your day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things about loving your life is that you want to be in the present and be motivated and aligned correctly. You want to align everything that you do to choice. And what has happened for you is that in the mid-afternoon, you lose a sense of choice. Of course, it's triggered a bit by body chemistry, right? And that kind of happens for a lot of people. Their blood sugar kind of goes down, and they just would rather just kind of leave and just hang out and munch something and just space out a bit. And it's difficult to stay on focus when your blood sugar is fluctuating and stuff in the afternoon. So one of the things we would suggest is that to realize that if you can eat a little something, a protein or something like that, that can give your body a little bit more energy. But that's only the physical part. What's really happening here is that when the blood sugar goes down, its old angers will start coming up to the surface. Old frustration. Everything gets to be more frustrating. Everything tends to look like more struggle, like more hardship. Right? So we would suggest that that's a time for resetting your motivation. Right? Now, we did a whole workshop on this. It's a workshop we did in the Bay Area in October of 2010. On pretty much a manual on aligning yourself with your true will, your true motivation, and be prepared and how to handle the light chaos, which is the development and the creation of your new life paradigm. Now, for you, it's wonderful that you do have the job, because there are things that it provides for you. It's not as much as you would want, but it does cover the bills, does it not? It just covers the bills.
Just barely.
It covers. So you have this house, right, uh-huh. that you live in. Uh-huh. And so it maintains the house. It keeps the house going.
Yes.
All right. And you like living in that house.
Yes.
All right. And you like that you have a house, too.
Yes, very much.
All right. And even though you, in order to make the ends meet, you have a roommate in there, you actually kind of like that, too.
I like her, yes.
All right. So overall, there's a lot to be grateful for in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the job is something to be grateful for. Now, the reason it doesn't quite make enough money for you so that you get stuff that you really prefer and get to do a little splurge here and there or do some catch up on fixing something the house needs catching up on is because there was a certain desperation you're feeling prior to this job. And you didn't feel real valuable. But
yes,
you did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, of course, when you enter a job, sometimes there's a salary and it's set. You see, until there's some evaluation or perhaps a raise or something like that. But for that period of time, it sets you right at where you entered the job. So what you want to do is mentally go back to the beginning of the job, to the gratitude and excitement that you had over getting it. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yay! Yay, I got a job. I'm going to make it. I'm going to pay the mortgage. Yay! Yay, another month after month. Yay! So go back to that sense of celebration. But not to the self that you were on the darker side there. Not the needy one, not the kind of panicky one, not the one for whom getting the job suddenly was like, whew, this big release. Oh, what a relief. Now I don't have to keep worrying about it and going looking for another job and stuff. So go back to that feeling, that elation, that gratitude, and step back into that. And this time, expand yourself. See yourself as the divine being. Give yourself a lot of compassion for having gotten that job. And even though you weren't at the place where you are now, energetically speaking, and therefore you didn't get as much money as you could have, don't hold that against you. Don't get upset about it. Because actually being upset about the not having enough money is an inverted way of kind of judging yourself for having compromised. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you celebrate who you were then and how you felt then and from the perspective of you being a bigger light being than you were then. Right. And so you just do this little technique and you do it as many times as you need during the afternoon. It only takes a few seconds really to do. And you can also remember how you feel in the morning when you're psyched because actually you like your job.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't like doing it for long, 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 long hours because there is a part of you that like to do something else, more fun, more creative perhaps.
Uh-huh.
And so you start thinking about that, then you start not liking your job. All right. So start remembering the enthusiasm you have in the morning and by choice, I choose to really enjoy my job now. I'm going to find something beautiful in every customer. I'm going to love each one that I talk to. I'm going to pump out light and love energy to each one of them. You see what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you're there and you had a little protein, right? A few nuts, something, you know, just to give yourself a little energy boost. Because if you eat something sweet, then that can be a problem because not all of your body is getting the glucose it needs. So what you do is that you eat protein and it kind of forces the body to remove the glucose out of your storage. So that can be a good thing for your health overall and it can give you a little bit more health balance through the rest of the day. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So between those two, if you do that, you'll find yourself pretty much renewed, thinking of these customers as gifts to you, for you to love, for you to care about, for you to pay attention to. And then if you find yourself in an additional slump, right, then you need to do it again. But see, what happens is that when you do this, you go back into choice. It's when you lose a sense of power to your job that it becomes very difficult. then you would need to make an adjustment to your body, because your body is not getting enough exercise. So your body is saying, okay, here I am at this job, and just doing the same thing over and over and over again. I need to break out. I need to do something. I need to go stretch my legs. I need to do something. I need to kind of get something, some energy going. So what you say to the body, listen, I know that you're restless about this, and you want to get up, and you're antsy, and you want to go home, and so that you can do something, so you can do something different. Well, body, I promise you, I will give you some time to do something different. You see, so promise the body you're going to give it a little time, and then when you get home, then you may not be quite as tired, but even if you are a little bit on the tired side, which is more emotionally and lack of motivation, even so, what we suggest you do is put on a little music and you dance a little bit to it. Just move your body around. Yeah, yeah.
Just like I did this morning.
Right. Great. Yeah. Yeah, so we'd suggest just kind of doing that and give your body a little bit of movement. And it'll get the energy back up, and you'll feel much better. Okay?
Very good advice.
But stay in your power. That's the important thing. Mm-hmm. Stay in your choice. All right?
Thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome. It is part of how to live your life with joy and loving your life, you know? As if you can just be present with your body and love your body and love yourself and love what you're doing and love and be grateful. You can really stay in it quite well. All right. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. Who else would like?
Hi, Alexis. It's Julie.
Hello.
Hi. You remember a lot of history on me, I know.
the long history, yes.
Yes. Well, I am super excited. I think I've gotten to this point now where I'm going to keep that joy because I've manifested the perfect job.
Mm, and congratulations.
They haven't told me yet, but I know I'm going to get it. It's this next week because, surprisingly enough, everything I asked for, and you know how hard I've been working, and I've really got my self-esteem way up there now, and I manifested, I said I have to have the perfect boss like my last boss was. Where am I going to find it? I have to have people really wonderful to work with. I need the top product to sell. And you remember I'm in sales for Southern California and years in the travel business representing certain companies. And I want to be excited and passionate about what I'm selling, where it's in travel. And voila.
Check, yeah.
Voila.
Monsieur. All right.
This company, all of a sudden, I was in New York 2 days last week. I had six interviews. And I walked in the door, and the managing director walks out with a big smile on his face. And I felt like a warm blanket had dropped over me. His energy was so loving and so wonderful. I thought, wow. Everybody there that I interviewed with, the marketing manager, the chief operating officer, everybody was that way, and I was that way, and boy, my energy was just really going out. I think I nailed it. And they've only interviewed three other people. I can't imagine anybody being better for this job than me. Mm-hmm. And I just know that because my ex-boss said, you're the best in the business. And it's the top company in the world for African safaris. And talk about passion. I love Africa because I sold it. I was there. I want to go back. I want to sell it. I love these people I'd be working for. Of course, I know all the accounts. I'd be calling on travel agents.
Yes.
And listen to this. This I kept saying, I want to help my mission. Guess what the thing the company is? The parents that live in Nairobi, they're there every time I get a travel agent to sell somebody to go on safari. A little black child goes to school in Africa. Mm. I'm tearing up over this because I feel it's like part of my mission.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be able to help these children.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited. These are tears of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to get your feel on this. I had a wobble too. She
Sheila Bobolite, gee, what if you don't get it? And I thought, how can you not, you idiot? You're the best in the business. And they loved you. So I just wanted your feelings on it.
All right. Well, a great deal of this time is so different from other times.
Yes.
Because you've achieved a state of joy that is much higher than what you ever had before.
Yes.
And you feel a sense of knowing.
Yes.
Which is aligned with your truth. Right?
Uh-huh.
This creates a dynamic path of magic.
Wow.
And you've noticed how that works.
Yes.
Now you've seen it.
Yes.
Because you were there concerned before. How in the world am I ever going to get a job this perfect again? You said when you lost what you thought was going to be a perfect job.
Yes.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, how am I ever going to find this again? There's only two big companies, or there's only so many companies in the world and that do this. And how in the world will I? And we told you at that time, you know, if you align yourself, you can create something. It'll come out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Even if you think you've exhausted every single company and every possibility, there's going to be something you didn't catch. And it's going to come to you.
Voila.
And here it did. So what we suggest is to continue the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Recognizing the amazing power of your creativity. And this is part of loving your life. This is part of the joy and the thrill of life, is that you can become creative.
Yes.
And you needed to lose that job you had before.
Right.
So that you would spend some time here really changing yourself and stepping into your light.
Yes.
And here you are.
Yes.
All right. Now, we suspect you're right, that you're going to have this job and have a wonderful time. On the dark side, if you look at all the possibilities in your reality, there's one possibility that you won't get it. The worst case scenario, right? However, we want to remind you that in the state of knowing that you are now, include that knowing, extend that knowing into knowing that even in the worst case scenario, you'll create something else out of the blue that's perfect for you. Even though it may not be able to conceive of it now. You understand?
Yes.
Because when you get something that's really, really good like this, it's incomprehensible it could be anything better.
Right.
But you keep asking yourself, this is a question that is in the access trainings, that the channel has really liked and enjoyed a lot. The question is, regardless of whether you're facing anything dark or anything light, is to ask the question, how does it get better than this?
Oh, yeah, I am asking myself that.
Remember? All right.
Yes.
So how does it get better than this? If you think this is as good as it gets, you need to ask the question. Keep the energy expanding. Keep you expanding. You see what we're saying?
Yes.
All right. Because this time we don't sense that you were going up and down and all around with it.
No, not.
This time it just came like magic, and it's in your flow.
Yes.
All right. That's the sign of a juicy life, right?
Whoa. So I sort of arrived.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yay.
That's a juicy life. Now, it's a wondrous life. It's a joyous life. A joyous life filled with magic. And you'll notice that how good your body feels, too, about it.
Yes.
Yeah, body's all like, all revved up.
Right.
Yeah. Your immune system really strong. Yeah. Yeah. All right. You're ready to enter, and you're entering into the light chaos here. A time of really experiencing a new life.
Okay. So I got the stamp of approval.
You don't need it. You gave it to yourself.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so
Remember,
much.
Remember, that's where it really matters, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome, and you've been doing a lot of really good things. Good work.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, Galexis.
Oh, hello.
So happy to hear of joy and peace and knowingness, because I want to love and I will love my life, and I love my life. I'm just not feeling joy, peace, or no, have any idea, or even the impetus to move forward. I feel like I'm just in a stasis of either getting well or just confusion. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about people get, you didn't use these terms, but big hits to their emotional body or their physical body. And I've had a few big hits, and now it's like my life force is much weaker than it used to be. So can you guide me on strengthening that and making mm-hmm. some momentum and excitement and re-enjoying the fact that I wake up in the morning instead of going, oh, no?
Right.
Thank
well,
you.
For you, the issue is for peace, for joy, for happiness and enthusiasm about your life. The issue for you is that you tend to load on conditions. And you need to recognize that the way to jump through the and make this great leap across the chasm of what seems to be interminable suffering and confusion and the dark unknown is to recognize that you have to come to a place of unconditionally accepting your life. And right now, you're still, you know, torn with the conditions. The conditions aren't right. You're not healthy enough. You're not happy enough. You don't have enough money coming in. You don't have this. You don't have that. And you're looking at what is, you know, not working right with your life. And so when you make the choice, you need to make it unconditionally. Now, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked, right? There's a part of you that when you wake up in the morning, it's like, oh no, another day. The underlying belief of that is that life sucks again. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Life sucks. All right. Now, when you're in that place, life sucks. You're in victim consciousness. You're not in your power. So the first thing we would suggest to do is say, okay, all right, I hear myself, Stephanie. I'm saying life sucks. I recognize I'm in a bad mood, and I've just waked up. I'm in a bad mood. I didn't get good sleep, or I'm just not feeling good, and here's another day of going through all of this stuff, and I'm anticipating and expecting all sorts of crap to happen today. And the reason you're expecting is because you wake up in a bad mood. Oh, gosh, I know today's not going to be that good. So that expectation, that assumption, which comes from days past, is just brought in to your day and projected into your day to fill up your day of experiences from days past. Now, when you do that, you go on automatic. When you're in automatic, you're not in your power. So the first thing you say is say, okay, I'm giving my power away to my future. I'm giving my power away to my emotions. I'm giving my power away to my day. I'm giving my power away to my history. And I'm going to take my power back right now. So all of you, if you've had a rough spot for months, even years, that's your history. If you take your history and assume that that's just going to keep repeating itself, the only way you see yourself coming out of it is some kind of slow plodding thing, or to do something really brilliant, or work hard enough, or do something, you know, strong enough, or get enough help, or something. Some intervention has to happen. Otherwise, you see a life filled with this. That's you projecting your past upon your future. Right? See, the second point is that you don't have a different future. You feel that you have to fill it all up with the past. And so you wake up in the morning and you do this consistently, unconsciously, subconsciously it actually is. And so it just goes on automatic. And then you believe that this automatic choice that you made is real.
Some days it doesn't happen. I'm very lucky on those days, but they're rare.
Right. Well, if you can remember a day when it doesn't happen, you can call in that as the part of the history you choose to repeat.
Uh-huh.
But you have to do it consciously, because your subconscious, more likely than not, will take negative stuff to bring into your day and project it into your future of the day. All right? So what you have to do is you have to step back into choice and take your power back from this automatic pattern, from this assumption. Power, return to me. Then you need to remember you are a divine being, and that you came on this physical plane to experience all the highs and all the lows. Dear one, you've done that. You've experienced highs, you've experienced lows. And it's your choice which ones you want to fixate on. Now, a lot of people will say this, and then you'll feel judged because you'll think, why, that's so hard, and it's easy for them to say. Yes, it's easy for us to say. It's easy for us to say all sorts of things because we're not in physical form, and that's why we work this way, because it's much easier. We can work with all of you individually on many levels because we're not physical. But it's also a matter of being present and by choice choosing to step into choice and say, okay, I'm feeling really funky this morning. And I'm feeling really funky right now. I take my power back from this pattern of projecting onto my day. I take my power back from all of this assumption of pain and suffering, and that it's a hard haul out of this place, that I'm in this pit and I've got to drag myself out. I got to find help. I got to have intervention. I'm going to take my power back from all those assumptions. Because once you take your power back from that and you begin to honor and respect who you are, that you are a consciousness, and by your very nature, you're in the divine bliss. By your nature, that you just happen for the moment not to be in it, okay? Because you have this program running. So recognizing that, say, I take my power back from all the programs that say my life is hard. And it's going to be difficult and treacherous and unpleasant and a lot of suffering to get through it.
Are you saying that that's true?
What's true?
It is going to be a lot of suffering, a lot of
pressure. No,
okay,
that's your belief.
So. Yes,
that's
okay.
The projection you made.
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. And when you make a projection and you believe it to be true, guess what? It is true.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to take control over your thoughts and your beliefs first thing in the morning, because if you wake up and you're not in your power, i.e. you do not feel good about your life and about your day, then you, that's an opportunity, your reality is sending you, all right, sending you this opportunity to change right now. It's not, doesn't mean anything's wrong with you if you're feeling bad in the morning. It means that your universe has said, okay, we're bringing it up for you so that you can make your choice. Do not buy into the bad state that you wake up in as real. Now, if you are depressed, the depression kind of hangs like a blanket, a heavy kind of dark blanket over you. All right? Depression is layers and layers of emotions. We spoke about that with you on Friday. Layers of emotions, mostly anger, powerless rage, and other emotions, hurt, pain, sorrow, all sorts of things, all layered up. Okay. So if you're feeling depressed as well, once you get your power back, then before you force yourself out of bed to do something, because normally once you do something, you either feel a little better or you feel at least distracted from it, that before you get up is that you imagine that you're lying under layers and layers and layers of blankets. You can feel the heaviness when you're in a dark place. It just feels heavy. It's just lying on top of you, all these blankets. Ask us or your higher self or your guardian angel, doesn't matter, ask and say, would you please remove these blankets?
Can you guys not get to me because I'm so negative?
Because when you judge yourself, when you hate yourself, we can't do anything. Our hands are tied.
Okay.
Our psychic hands, right? And all your spirit friends' hands are tied. Nothing. We can't do anything. If you judge yourself, then you say, this is all I deserve. And and when you ask for something from a place of self-judgment, you're basically saying, I'm unwilling to accept as working for me this reality I'm asking for, because I suck. Therefore, I'm asking for a reality that's going to prove to me that I don't suck. And we can't do that.
Okay.
It's a choice that you make. All right. So taking off any judgments of yourself that you can will, of course, help this process. But when you remember that you're a powerful light being, essentially you step outside the judgment of yourself. But you can ask and say, okay, come please, remove these blankets.
All right.
And they will remove it one at a time. It's just takes a little while. You just feel it, take one off. Oh, want to take another one off. It's very small increments, and they'll just take it off, and they're taking off. Oh, here's a layer of anger. Here's a layer of fear. You know, here's a layer of judgment. Here's a layer of pain. And they just kind of one blanket after another, after another, after another. And eventually it gets down to you, and then you're uncovered. Right? And if you don't go into self-judgment and get impatient with yourself and get annoyed and get frustrated and feel like you should be doing something else and get an antsy, and your slave driver comes in and says, what are you doing lying here? You need to get up. See, if you kind of keep yourself as clear as possible, the delayering will continue.
Okay.
All right. Then when you get to that place, then you say, all right, I hereby choose to love myself and to accept my life unconditionally at this moment.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, all of you, after this workshop, we hope that in the morning when you wake up, that you'll basically do this too. I accept my life unconditionally as it is at this moment. As a powerful reality creator, it is in my power of choice to choose something different from what it is. And thank you, reality, for the opportunity. Thank you, God, Goddess, all that is, for this human body, for this opportunity, for me to come into physical materiality, for me to explore and adventure and be creative. And you can't feel gratitude until you take your power back. You can feel gratitude, but if your gratitude as a victim, it doesn't break you out of anything. But it feels better for the moment. But if you stay in victim, you know, you'll just, after a while, you'll think gratitude doesn't work. And you'll blame gratitude for it. Oh, I don't feel grateful. Life sucks too much. I don't really feel grateful for it. Come on, when is it going to get better? Hey, you guides, when are you going to give me what I want? But you see, when you take the judgment and burden off yourself by owning who you are, then you have an option to create a beautiful day.
Then you can trust yourself.
Well, that comes with time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've made some promises to yourself that you didn't keep. So you're not really sure you trust yourself. You made some choices. Say, I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to da-da-da, and this will happen, and da-da-da. And then when the time came, you were felt too sick, or you were too unhappy, or whatever it was, and you couldn't get to it, or you couldn't do it, or you couldn't follow it through, and so you judged yourself. And that takes away your trust of yourself.
Mm.
What you're looking to trust, first of all, is to trust the divine plan. Because the divine plan, it actually is easier to trust than yourself. Because you may have a track history, all of you. Listen to this one. You may have a track history in which you tried to improve yourself and fix yourself. And when you didn't improve yourself and fix yourself good enough, according to your specs, you see, then you judged yourself. And in that judgment, you, in a sense, cancel out or negate all the good work that you've done, taking you right back to Nowheresville or get back to square one. Your system, your psyche, your body cannot trust you then. Because here you said, I'm doing this, I'm going to be here. And then you said, no, I'm going to judge myself, basically. I'm going to, yeah, nah, it's just the same old, I'm just going to judge myself. And so as soon as you do that, as soon as you say, oh, no, it's not going to change, da, 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 then, you know, hands off. We have to be hands off. All your friends have to be hands off. And of course, as soon as that happens, then your body says, I thought you were wanting to live and you wanted to enjoy your life and have a great life, and here you are all judging yourself again. Well, I guess I can't work then. I'll have to go back to survival mode. You see? Mm-hmm. So your health comes up when you're feeling empowered, and you'll notice that when you feel disempowered, which can happen just first thing in the morning, if you don't deliberately take your power back, you can awaken your eyes in a powerless state. Okay? And when that happens, and it could come from dreams or what goes on in the night or being awake in the night, and you start the day worrying about everything and so on, that when you're in that powerless state, then your body has to go right back down to minimum functioning.
Mm-hmm. I notice.
Right. So the key here for you is to be in choice, to be in power, to recognize who you are, and unconditionally accept your life. It is a wonderful gift you were given. A beautiful gift. Not everybody chose it. Not everybody was willing to come physical plane. Most beings didn't come. You were not stupid because you did, right? You were just perhaps more creative and adventurous, and you wanted to grow using time. You wanted to grow faster. You were excited. You wanted more sooner. On the other side, there isn't really but the concept of time, and even sometimes there's not that. So people just spend an eternity meditating in some of the inner planes, and it just goes on and on and on, which in Earth terms would be thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You know, the Hindus say, you know, there's a day of Brahma. It's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It's a day. That's it's perceived as it's a day of Brahma. But there's no concept of time, so it takes forever to a person who is in time. You can't conceive of 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 years. Doesn't make any sense to you. Or a million. You know the universe has all this incredible range of time and all the light years away that things are, and it's mind-boggling. Wow, this time thing. But you see, you're really in charge of it. And if you will not buy into time tracks and assumptions of what is on time tracks, and also in your case, dear one, to look at, well, if I'm better today than yesterday, I'm on a roll here. I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. But the idea here is if I'm better than yesterday, I'm feeling more powerful. I'm owning more of who I am, and it feels good, and I choose it more and more of this. Mm-hmm. So that you reinforce it. Okay?
Thanks.
Because otherwise you'll say, oh, I feel good today, but, you know, tomorrow may be just a terrible.
No, I'll be better tomorrow.
Or you may try affirmations. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. And then you're not better the next day, you know, and your body's going to go, okay, well, you lied to me again. Okay. You know, so you don't want to go there. So you want to recognize that you want, when you make a choice, I'm going to be better. This is not a slave driver type choice. This is not an affirmation. This is a choice from an empowered being. So you have to be an empowered being before you can say that and mean it. You understand?
Yes, I certainly do.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you bringing up this question. It was a very important question. We thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay, so who's next?
Hello, Galaxus.
Hello.
It's Fariba.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to you last time when I was in court, and I could feel it that it worked. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome.
I have two questions for you. First is tomorrow it will be my
court. Now, this is on the topic, yes?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. It is my court hearing about the custody for my 12-and-a-half-year-old daughter. He wants 50%, and she's not happy with him. I want what is the best for her.
And 50% is 50% of what?
Custody of my daughter.
Oh, so 50% of the time spent?
The time, yes.
Or money, or what?
No. It's the time that he should spend with our daughter.
And what does she want?
She wants to go and see him whenever she likes to. She doesn't want to sleep at his house. She doesn't want to be with him most of the time. And when she goes because she's fearful of him, that she will be upset with her.
All right.
And she has been with me her entire life.
All right.
90% of the time.
How is this related to the topic? Please relate it for us. Loving your life. How is that related to you loving your life? You're talking about your daughter and...
She is a big part of my life, and
right.
I do love my life, but this piece of it is bothering me. But we can talk about it another time.
Can you, in looking at this issue, stay in your light, stay in your power, stay in your love,
yes,
and stay in your expectation?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what we would suggest.
Thank you.
All right.
You answered.
All right, good. All right.
That's what I will do tomorrow.
Well, you're going to be doing it later today, too. All right?
Thank you.
And did you say there was
a
second question?
Yes, there is a second question. In loving my life, I feel like I have never had a person loving me in a relationship the true way that I've always loved the other person.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so... Now that you have this new life coming on you, you
yes.
want to have a relationship that's real.
Yes.
And you want to be loved.
Is it related?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to waste your time. I know everybody's listening.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So what you want to recognize is that the person you were in that relationship before, all these relationships before, where you were putting yourself out for the relationship, but you weren't getting back. That imbalance, yes, right?
Yes.
Okay. Recognize that in that state of imbalance, the reason that you were doing that was because you were actually trying to manipulate the relationship. You were trying to make him love you back. And you thought, if you earned it, all right, if you earned his love, if you made yourself indispensable, if you loved him up and down and all around and he got so much love and everything like that, he couldn't help but respond beautifully, lovingly, positively to you. Well, this is an incorrect belief, okay? It doesn't work that way. Because actually, you were loving, what you were loving was security. What you were doing was trying to manipulate for love. And you thought that you weren't enough just being you. You thought you had to do all sorts of things. You had to earn it, not just receive it or be. You made the assumption underneath it all that you were not being loved for you anyway, but you were being loved for what you could give him or what you were bringing into the relationship. You understand?
Yes.
And so, therefore, you had to give and give and give and give and give. And in that process, you discounted yourself so much and began to suck energy from him. You know, in a sense, it was a subconscious pressure and demand on him to do for you, because that's the way men see it. he didn't know that all you wanted was for him to just be with you. You see, he thought, okay, she's leaning on me, she's pushing on me, she needs me, she's demanding something from me. I can't feel what it is, but I can feel it psychically. Everybody's psychic, they just don't know how to interpret what they're getting. And so as a result, he felt pressured. He felt put upon. He felt demanded. He felt that he had to perform better. He felt he had to do more. Well, that takes a man into a very treacherous inner place within himself, where he has to evaluate his own value, his own capacity, and so on. And in that sense, what a man will tend to do is either just kind of go blank, resist, get angry, which is one of the things that he did, and you couldn't ever understand it. Why? Giving. Why is he angry? You see, because he's taking it as a pressure. Do you understand? Yes. Okay. So from his point of view, it was just a pressure of performance. Men have performance anxiety. Women don't have it like men do. So they don't understand. But that's the way women try to manipulate love. The thing is, if you were in yourself, loving your life, unconditionally accepting yourself, and just enjoying being with you, you can add a person into your life. You can attract someone into your life who will just enjoy being with you, who will enjoy loving you. No pressure. There's no pressure. There's no demand when you're loving you. When you don't discount you. When you don't try to earn anything. Because as soon as you start earning love, you lose it. Love is something to receive. First you receive from yourself by loving yourself. Then you know how to receive love from someone else. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. So choosing to love your life unconditionally, to love who you are, regardless of what your external circumstances look like, is going to be very important for you to be able to create a relationship. Because what you're really looking for in a relationship is not to be loved and be taken care of. That's an old security need. It's part of the old patriarchal culture that a woman finds a strong man to lean on and take care of her. And then on the other hand, she'll take care of the house and and do all the work, emotional work in a relationship. You don't want to go there anymore.
No.
Okay. So loving yourself, it becomes a free, equal kind of relationship. Something that you have not explored before. It's part of your new life. Okay? And in order to be there, you have to acknowledge the divine that's in you. Then you will attract a lover of the divine in him. And he will be able to love you and feel free about it and comfortable about it without being on performance about it. Okay? Now, one final thing for every one of you. And this is important, of course, what we are saying to her in all relationships and about loving your life. Anything that you want, anything that you desire, it's important you do not try to manipulate it into your life by earning it. Yeah, you get a job, you earn your money, right. But we're talking about intangibles. We talk about love. And the qualities of success, the qualities that come with prosperity, the feeling of safety and joy and flow and harmony. These don't come with earning. These come with receiving. And you can only receive these if you acknowledge more of who you are and make a choice to enjoy yourself. Because the person who loves themselves and loves their lives, those people who do that, well, naturally, as we said earlier, bring magic into their lives. They will receive. They will have beautiful reception. They'll receive on many, many different levels, material, spiritual, emotional, mental. They'll receive lots of healing, lots of love, lots of joy, lots of opportunities, lots of adventures. They'll receive. So what you're looking for is not to build yourself up so you can receive. You have to build yourself up whether you receive a stitch at all. Because it's not a linear thing. Because if you're trying to say, okay, if I stay really bright and strong and I'm this beautiful, brilliant light being now I'm going to pull in all what I want, my money, my relationship, now I'm going to pull it in. You're earning now. You're saying, if I do this, then I'll get that. And this is a very important point. You have to choose to love your life unconditionally first. You have to love you first. Then you ask for what you want and open to receive. It's much easier, vastly easier. So be careful that you don't get into earning. As soon as you earn, you don't think you deserve it. You must work hard for it. And one of the fears of being happy and loving your life and being successful and all the great things that come with that is that you're afraid that you might not really deserve it. And it'll all come in. Like we said, there's a fear that it could be taken away from you. It'd be taken away from you because you don't deserve to keep it. And so in order to keep it, so many of you, as soon as you have some success come in, you go into earning it. Well, you've already got it in. But then you think, if I earn it, if I justify it, then maybe I can keep it. In other words, I give 10% to the poor. I'm generous to this friend of mine. And in other words, you can end up being a rug that somebody walks over. You just let yourself go back into not being good enough. I've got to keep it. I've got to work hard at keeping it. I've got to hold on to it. And as soon as you go there, it starts to shift. It starts to dissolve in your hands. You've got it. You've got it. And it starts to fade. It starts to fall apart. Because of the earning and receiving is what the divine does. Giving freely, unconditionally. When you give your love to your mate in the future, you give unconditionally. But you have to be really clear here, because you weren't even clear of your motivation before. So you need to be very clear. Am I giving because I want a relationship so I can give love? Or do I want a relationship where I'm going to get love? So what you want to do is ask for a relationship where I can give love. It doesn't deplete you if you're not earning. If you do earn, you get yourself exhausted trying to get that love to come back to you. And that's what you did. In a sense, you burned yourself out trying really hard, and it just didn't work, and it made the guy angrier and angrier. You notice that?
Yes.
Right? Because every time you earned, your value goes down a notch. But when you receive, your value goes up. Okay, this is big stuff. This is really significant. Most people don't even think about this. But you can't love your life and earn it. You can't love your life with conditions. Oh, I'll love my life if I'm happy, healthy, blah, 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 whatever. If I have a relationship. You give it freely, unconditionally to yourself. I give a good life to me. I give love and happiness regardless of how sucky it is, regardless of how imperfect it is, regardless of how weird and how unpleasant or whatever it is. I'm going to love my life anyway, unconditionally. That's just all there is to it. No more conditions. And when you get there, you're not earning anymore. You start to give to yourself. You give love to yourself, number one, and then your reality starts to give to you. You're not getting. You're not taking. You're not manipulating. You're not earning. You're receiving it. And by your nature as a spiritual person, receiving is fun, it's light, it's comfortable, it's free. You don't owe anybody anything. That's why a lot of people don't like receiving. Oh, well, then I should, you know, they have this tit-for-tat thing. Okay, if they give me X, Y, Z, I need to give them A, B, C. You know, I need to keep the balance. Well, that's earning. I need to earn this gift I was given. It's particularly onerous if you're given something you don't like. Oh, now I owe them. Oh, they gave me this dinky thingamajig, you know. Oh, okay, so how am I going to give them something? Let's see. Okay, I'll invite them to dinner. Oh, no, I don't want to spend an evening with them. Yeah. You know, all this kind of stuff. Well, now you're in earning mode, and you resent it. So you feel manipulated. So can you imagine why you haven't been receiving sometimes? Right? Because you think, oh gosh, what does this require of me? So a lot of you have this projected fear. It's a collective consensus thing that when your life is really joyous and happy and you're receiving all sorts of bounty and wonderful things like that, oh man, the work that's going to put on me. Oh dear, now I'm going to have to be this noble, saintly person and I'm going to have to be giving, i.e. forced giving to everybody else. Well, that certainly is a wet blanket, if there ever was one. Who wants to go there? Nobody. So recognize, receiving is unconditional as well. And if you don't want to receive something that someone gives you, and you're loving your life, you can say, well, thank you for the thought of giving this to me. It's not something I can use right now, but thank you so much. You can be grateful for their thought, for their consideration. You don't have to think, well, they're giving this thingamajig to me so that I'll give something back to them. And you'll notice that the people you have the hardest time spending time with are people who will give to you, and then they'll look at you like, okay, where's mine? Oh, ooh, you don't want to be around those people at all. They just suck energy, and you feel like, ew, ugh, this giving-receiving thing, this is exhausting. No, it isn't. It's energizing. Vitalizing, freeing, enlivening, if you'll let yourself really receive and be grateful and don't owe them a thing. They assume that the other person gave it to you freely. Assume that you, if you like it, that, hey, you deserve to have it in your life. And thank you very much, universe. Thank you very much, person. This is really nice. That way you get all sorts of great things. You'll get things you really want. All right. So what we're going to do now.
Thank you.
You're certainly welcome, and thank you for that question, a very good one. What we'd like to do now is to go on a break. And after the break, we're going to talk to you about what is required to really change your life, to really make your life, a life that you really want to love, a life that you really have a good time with. You've heard hints already, but we're going to lay it out for you so that you have a template to work with. All right. So what is it, 25 minutes? Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll go on a break and we'll see you shortly. Farewell, dear ones.